Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 12th, 2019. This is the 10 a.m. big book study meeting and we are reading from the big book on page 75, the second full paragraph. Reading the steps is Laura R. Reading the 12 traditions is Jerry L. And reading the text are Mo H., Robin P., and Leslie M. The share ID number for yesterday's Wednesday 10 a.m. meeting, December 11th, is 13,802. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, is 13,806. Our newcomer greeter today is Penny C., and giving us announcements is Robin P. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado. Okay, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continuing to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Jerry L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group conscience, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Jerry L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 75, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Mo H. to begin our study.
And thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Walnut Creek, California. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And again, I'm Mo H. from California. Wow, well, God certainly has timing here, because I haven't been able to share on the meeting, or haven't wanted to, for the last 2 weeks or so since Thanksgiving. And this morning I pocketed my pride and put out on the earlier meeting that I've been depressed. And so lo and behold, I get a lot of outreach, and that really began to help. So that's a good way to pocket our pride. I'm not above anybody nor below anybody. I'm just one of you. So with this fifth step, I've done many, many fifth steps and many different forms. My first one was answering a Godzilla amount of questions, which didn't seem to get me anywhere. But it wasn't until I did it with the forms that are outlined in the Big Book, and that have the columns, and that I get to the last column and to look at my part, could I really start uncovering stuff? And then when I start giving that away, and I'm willing to be honest and give it all away, then we have these promises here, and every step has a promise to it. And here are these. that we are delighted that we can look the world in the eye. I mean, I used to be afraid to go out. I'd run into people that, you know, I had an issue with. That isn't there anymore. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. And if we're not, we can ask for help, like I did this morning. Our fears will fall from us. And maybe not all of these come true all at once, but we're moving in the direction of experiencing some of these promises and some of the gifts that this program gives me, if I'm willing to work it. I have to be willing to pick up that phone. And I'll tell you, this morning it was a lead weight. I didn't want to do it, and I was very much encouraged to do it. And I'm glad I did now, because I do feel a spiritual experience happening, because I have all of you. I have all of you, and I'm not alone. I have all of you, and that we can walk together hand in hand on this broad highway, and it is a very broad highway if we put all our hands together. And so, so I say get to it, do it, don't be afraid to do it, and maybe share your deepest, darkest secret first and get it out of the way. Like, you know, do the difficult thing first, and then you can move on and have a beautiful rest of the steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H., for getting us started. Okay, I'd like to take a list of people who would like to share, and if you can try to do it one at a time and give me your first initial of your last name as well, that would be great.
Lisa G.
Okay, I heard Lisa G.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Jessica H. F.
Jessica H., was it?
F.
F. Okay.
Shlomi Dana B.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anybody.
Shlomi Dana B.
Akana B. What was that first name?
Yeah, it was Shlomi Dana.
Okay, Shlomi Dana B. Okay.
Robin.
Roz G.
Robin T. and Raj G. Okay, and if I didn't get your name, I'll get you the next time around. Okay, Lisa G., please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Lisa G. from Texas, recovered. And I had a very different experience with my fifth step, and I'd done several before, but nothing was like this, and I never... anyway, with this one, I just wanted to say I had like an amazing sponsor that was so gentle and kind and loving to me, and that made it really easy. And I'm the kind of person, I don't have very many filters, so it's easy for me to just blab about stuff. And so telling on myself wasn't hard. And I wanted to dig as much as I could. In fact, I think sometimes I felt like I was trying to find something about myself that wasn't even there. But here's the difference for me, that my experience was different. When it says, you know, we are delighted. And I told my sponsor, I said, I am not delighted. I'm not delighted at all. Like, I feel like shit. And I didn't feel the nearness of my creator. I, you know, this is after I finished it. And I still was, I don't know how to explain it exactly, but I felt like stuff was grating inside of me. And I really, you know, wondered, is this really going to work for me? Is this really, am I going to have that spiritual experience? Because I wasn't having it. And when I read this paragraph, I was like, okay, there's something wrong with me. Well, there wasn't anything wrong with me. It's just, it was just different for me. And it didn't really start to happen, the spiritual experience, that I felt different, that I felt peaceful and calm and just felt happy. I just felt happy. And it didn't really happen till somewhere between the 9th and 11th step, but it did happen. And so, you know, I had to, I chose to trust the process because I really didn't believe it would help me. But I just did it anyway, and by golly, it really did work. And I still, like, my father-in-law just died last Sunday, and I mean, it's sad, and I've cried and cried because I loved him, but I'm not crazy, and I didn't pick up the food. So anyways, all I'm saying is that if you don't feel, you know, perfect peace and ease and all that stuff that it says in this paragraph, just don't worry about it. Just keep going, and you will have that experience. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Freya H., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Thank you so much for hearing my name. And, oh, I just so grateful for these previous shares, sharing, you know, just telling it like it is. And one of my fears when I read this was that it's not going to happen for me, just kind of echoing what I just heard, that I'm going to go through this work and I'm going to pour myself out on paper and that nothing's going to happen. You know, like other people have shared, I did have experiences where I answered a lot of questions, I shared my deepest, darkest secrets, but I didn't really have that experience. And then for whatever reason, I think it had to do, you know, one of the factors was working with a sponsor who really recognized and could call me on my stuff. Like that she could see the things that I wasn't aware of, and she helped me to see them. I think that was one of the factors. And then going through this work with her and getting her, you know, getting her insights on it, that's what really started to open me up to a spiritual experience. And so something that helps me is to go back to the appendix to the spiritual experience, where it says not everybody has this, you know, this white light flash experience, so that if this isn't happening for you, it's okay. You know, this isn't like, because it might not happen immediately, like the previous speaker just shared, and that was my experience as well. But it did happen gradually. And when I read these promises right here, I experience them most today when I'm doing 10 steps. You know, when I recognize and do it, and then I reach out to someone else. And by the time, you know, when I have a resentment or a fear, and I call somebody and I do a 10-step, by the time I get off the phone with them, I feel like a different person. This is such an amazing transformative process. And all of these things are true for me. You know, I feel like I have that feeling of being on the broad highway, walking hand in hand, because I'm reminded of what my higher, you know, that I'm reminded that I can shift my perspective and see through my higher power's eyes instead of through my limited self-centered view. So just that's what I want to share on this. And thank you for the opportunity, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Jessica S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Jessica in Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph was really wonderful, and I also really appreciate the other people's shares so far this morning. The first thing I have underlined in that paragraph was pocket our pride, and I wrote to put your pride aside, which is important for me. And illuminating every twist of character, that to me speaks of step 6, where we're looking at character defects, and that's actually where I am right now. And the promises that it talks about, that we can look the world in the eye and feel, you know, at ease and fears fall from us, etc., that didn't necessarily happen for me either in one specific step of my first time going through the steps. This is not my first time currently, but I can say at some point it absolutely did happen for me. And sometimes things come and go and things are easier at times, kind of like a roller coaster. But for sure, the looking the world in the eye, that really spoke to me, because I remember, you know, a long time ago in my 20s, I had a very difficult time looking people in the eye. I think it's because I felt they could see me and I did not feel worthy. And now I can look people in the eye and know that, you know, I'm not better, not worse. I'm just on equal footing with people. And we all have our stories and things that we're going through. So that is a promise that has come true for me. And fears falling from us. Right now I'm going through some physical issues that have kind of got me down a little bit. But I asked for help from my fellows yesterday, and I received the help, and it was really magical, and I felt fabulous yesterday. And the help I'm getting today is just by being on this phone call. I can be on a phone call with people I don't even know and get the help that I need. And I definitely need to be near my Creator now, because when I ask for help, even from my higher power in my daily prayers, I receive what I need. But if I just focus on the problems I'm having, of course the problems increase, and then I'm not getting any help or being of any help. And I definitely enjoy the feeling of walking hand in hand with not only my higher power, but with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jessica. Shlomit Ham, please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute. Shalom Ham.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. I was talking away. thank you so much for your service. Thank you to the timekeeper, and thank you, everybody, for being on this meeting. And thank you, God, for this program. I'm so, so grateful. There was a lot that I related to in this paragraph, and it was just making me think about my own fifth step experiences. Most of them have been very positive, and I really have had a spiritual experience. Particularly, my first time I ever did my fifth step, I went over to my sponsor's house. She lived in a different city, but we happened to be there, and we spent about 3 hours, and it was just her and I. And of course, God, in the room, just sharing. And it was so, it was just so magnificent. It really was. And I remember after a few hours, you know, when we finished, I just felt on top of the world. And you know what? I felt so loved. I felt so loved and so validated, because she was so loving and so validating. I think it's so important to really make sure that you have the right person, especially if it's your first time doing a fifth step, because the very last time I went through the steps, I was going through the steps very quickly, and I have to say I actually was not in a good place with my program. I was in relapse, but I was trying to, you know, not admit it, and I was going through the steps through a different type of process. And the person who took me through my fifth step, just the way that it was done, felt so punitive. I felt shamed. I really did. I felt very shamed. And I know that that was not her intention. And it may also be because of where I was in my program that I was not in a great place to begin with. But honestly, I think that even if I did it now when I'm abstinent, I still don't think it would have been a good experience, because she just was simply not the right person. It just was not the right approach for me. So, you know, when I think about that and think about all of my other fifth steps, that was the only time that's ever happened. All of my other fifth steps have been amazing, amazing spiritual experiences. I have felt loved. I felt validated. I felt closer to God, closer to program, and I also feel like I've learned a lot about myself as well. You know, for me, it's also very much of a learning process, and I really just, you know, I really appreciate that part. Excuse me. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomit Han B. Robin P., please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute, Robin.
Hi. Hi, thanks so much. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and thanks so much for your service. And, you know, I've been through this step several times, and with, you know, taking people through the steps, and also I've done a couple of steps myself, and it always gives me so much relief, and I really identify with this paragraph, you know, that that's what happened to me. That was my experience, that the drink problem, the food problem disappeared, and that I felt like I was on a new plane, a new broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. I felt this relief, and I believe that my sponsees have gone through that same feeling of, like, dumping manure off my soul. You know, it just felt like more sunlight could come in, like the sunlight of the spirit could actually come in because it wasn't being blocked by old stuff, old junk. And that feeling like I didn't have to cross the street, and that I used to feel so afraid of people. And I love that promise that fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's such a blessing and so true. And I was so afraid of people. And I had a lot of child abuse that I had to work through. And, you know, to be able to just feel like I deserved to go outside and be a person among people was a whole new feeling for me, instead of a ball of shame at the center of the universe, you know. And it's really from doing these steps, because I know that, because I didn't feel that way till after I did them. I'm really grateful. I do feel that nearness with the Creator. I meditate, I pray every day, and I feel the Holy Spirit with me. And whenever I choose to tune in, you know, I always feel God with me. And this is coming from someone who was a devout atheist before the program. So I'm eternally grateful for this program. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pray that you have an abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much, I guess.
Thank you, Robin P. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, just starting work. So maybe I'll try to cut it short because there may be a little noise. I would like to say that from on the sponsor side, it is very important to have a loving and accepting and non-judgmental approach to listening to a sponsee. And the reason I say this is because, you know, for me, I've done, just like everybody else, I've done a lot of fifth steps. And just like our lead chair, my first one was gargantuan. You know, it was not 12, it was not a big book or conference-proofed literature. It was some other, you know, thing that somebody had come up with, where there's hundreds of questions. It took me 6 months to complete and 2 days to go over with my first sponsor. And, you know, while I learned a lot about myself, it's been how many years since I've relapsed over and over and over again? So that approach didn't work for me. And this time around, I'm on the fifth step again. But however, going slowly through each resentment, and I've had an awakening of a character defect that has been plaguing me. It has to do with selfish, self-centered, pride, and ego, and the need to be recognized. And if I had not been honest, well, first of all, if I didn't develop the habit of prayer and meditation so that I could, and the sunlight of the spirit being able to shine through, and hadn't been completely honest with my sponsor and trusted her, I don't think this would have come up. And so the results are that my daily walks and actions are changing, and that I don't feel the need for the attention, for the validation in my work. It is a work. It plagues me at work. I need to be an honest, loving, caring employee who is just like everyone else, do my job to the best of my ability, be honest, and go home. Not try to be on top, number one, noticed, and all that stuff. And that came as a result of telling my sponsor through this fifth step. And I feel so much better at work. And as a sponsor, I want to be just like her. Whatever she tells me or he, you know, I'm not going to judge him. Pray I don't do it. Because it's important that we're able to be you know, transparent and understanding and caring and loving between each other so that this recovery can come through. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Raz G. Okay, I can take five or six more names. Who would like to
Charles
take?
H.
Charles H.
Cindy H.
Maggie B.
Cindy
Maggie
H.
B.
Maggie B.
Tara L.
Did I hear Tara L?
Yep.
Okay, and then another man's voice. Who is that?
Santa H.
Oh, Santa H. And one more.
Courtney M.
Courtney M. Okay, thank you all. We have Charles H., Cindy H., Maggie B., Tara L., Santa H., and Courtney M. Charles H., please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your service, Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm going to contradict a couple of people. It's not all right, because the Big Book has a prerequisition. I've heard we pocket our pride and illuminate every twist of character. What about every dark cranny of the past? Once we have taken a step, withholding nothing, and if you look at the paragraph that we're going to do tomorrow, you know, I'll let the cat out the bag. It says returning home because Bill W. knew that we were, and himself included, that we were selfish, inconsiderate, self-centered, egotistical, dishonest people, that we're not going to illuminate every dark cranny of the past. So he knew we was going to withhold something, right? And again, the fifth step is everything. The tenth step is 4 through 9 every day. And I can tell you I'm not good at that every single day. But at the original path at the time, what's rolling around in my head right now, right? The things that's rolling around in my head, every dark cranny of the past, right? If I'm not doing this prerequisite before checkmarking these promises, they're not going to line up. And guess what? They're not going to line up by osmosis. They're not going to line up if I just sit there and stew in those feelings. They're not going to line up. So I just wanted to illuminate that this is a prerequisite prior to these promises coming through. And with that, I'm in New York, so everybody talking, and that's just how it goes. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles H. Cindy H., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy H., a recovering compulsive overeater in Kansas City, Missouri. I wanted to share my experience regarding the word trust. I, like a lot of us, I grew up believing that I couldn't trust anyone, and I carried that on to adulthood. And when I put sugar down, I realized that I had this horrific fear of abandonment. It's like, I can't trust you because if I tell you the truth, then you're going to leave me. And that was my hugest fear. But I realized before I even, you know, part of the powerlessness and the unmanageability of my life was not trusting anyone. And I quickly realized I was going to have to trust someone or I wasn't going to recover. And so I just took a tiny step and got a sponsor. And then I took another tiny step and began telling her the truth. And every time that I feel like the thing that I don't want to share the most is the thing that I need to share the most. And it's a risk for me every time, but it's a risk worth taking. And I am working the second and third steps now, combined with 10, you know, just kind of doing, working through the recovery process and finding that no matter what happens, my side of the slate is clean because I was honest and I took a risk. And again, I just want to say it's a risk worth taking. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cindy H. Maggie B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Maggie B. in California. And
And this is the first time I've really done a share, or a long share. And I was just thinking this morning about how I wanted to encourage people to go through this step. I finished doing the steps probably about a month ago. And I've done it before in other ways with other material. And it just occurred to me this morning, it was like, yeah, I had every right and proof to be fearful because I grew up with a religion and a family that used shame as a weapon. And I can remember being a kid having a diary and then, you know, finding out that it wasn't safe in my family to have a diary or to write down your deepest thoughts, you know, because it would be found out because there were 8 kids in the family and you would be exposed. And it was just used as such an awful tool. And so every time I would come to this point, I would like, why do I have so much fear? And it occurred to me this morning, it was like, well, that's why. But boy, what a relief it was. And to have a community where I can come and, you know, bear all my ugliness and my faults and, you know, my past discretions, and to have a sponsor and somebody that, again, like everybody else had, there's probably nothing that you're going to tell me that I haven't done myself. And what a relief. And immediately, you know, I love the where it says in the paragraph where it says, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. And it wasn't a lightning bolt, but I sure did have spiritual experiences with just, you know, being able to be a kinder and loving person. And it, of course, it's something that I have to work at every day. But to be on that road and to actually find other travelers on the road, even though you guys are clear across the country or all over the country, it's just amazing. And I want to encourage everybody to do that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all on that road of recovery and our spiritual enlightenment. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Maggie B. Tara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I had to share this morning because I often sit and read the paragraph as we're studying it together. And my heart just like swelled because, you know, these promises have come true for me. And I remember, you know, this last fifth step I did, I sat all day with just a loving, kind sponsor. And at the very end, I had one thing. And I says, well, I've already told somebody about it. So she's like, okay. And I was sitting there and I was sitting there and all I could hear in my head was, do you want recovery? And I did. And so I told her and she laughed. And of course, this is me, you know, she had also, and it was all okay, but it was just that. And as I wrote that fourth step, I kept referring to my higher power and saying, please send me any names or anything that I need to put on this list, you know, that I need to see. And I just went with it. If it came into my brain, I put it down, you know, no matter how trivial, because, you know, I was desperate and I wanted this recovery. And today, you know, I can look the world in the eye, you know, and be alone. Oh, I used to be terrified to be alone. And I can be alone with peace and ease. And my fears are falling from me. And I do feel the nearness of my Creator. It's doing the work sometimes is, you know, scary. And we feel like, you know, I felt like I might have been the only one, and then I'm not. And, you know, I don't know why this time it just worked, but it did. And I'm so grateful to feel the nearness of my Creator. That today is what fills my heart. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. Santa H., please share with us. Press star
one. Good morning.
Go ahead, Santa. Thank you.
Good morning, my fellows, and thank you so much for Team Thursday for your service to making this meeting possible. And thank you, Kathy, for hearing me. Step five, I'm very grateful that I had such wonderful experiences with everyone I'd done. And what my first guy said to me that was so helpful, she said, don't trust me, just trust the process. And I kept saying that to myself, I'm going to just trust the process. And as I, you know, at first, you know, telling another person, it was scary the first time I did it. The initial time is hard because I was going through a dark tunnel. I didn't know what to expect. But I just trust the process. And talking to another person, it broke down my emotional and psychological isolation. And today, when I do my fifth steps, I'm not anxiously hiding any more secrets. And also, what was helpful for me is that my guy, she didn't judge me. And what she did was, my shame was lessened as a result of it. I even felt the power fade away from me that you know, how I was hiding and protecting and the secrets in it that I was keeping. And what was also helpful for me, and even today when I do my fifth steps, is that the guy gave me non-judgmental free feedback, you know, and I was able to listen more to her and really hear what she has to say. And then I felt the comfort of the feedback that she gave me that instantly made me feel a whole lot better. So today I see the fifth step as my way station. It's a place where I can unload painful memories that haunt and hurt me, and I can leave behind things that hinder and hamper and slow my journey down. And it's a place for me to repack other things that will make my life safer and richer and happier and more productive. And it's a place where I can pick up my ticket for my potentials. And my guys help me to be certain that if I shake out and repack helpful things and hurting feelings and troubled behaviors, don't hide in the crevices, that I can get back on the train and carry on my journey and lighter and more free. So today when I first loaded all of that, it was impactful. The promises was powerful that came through for me. But I can even feel these promises dripping every day because I'm on a 10-step train when I'm working it with my 10-step partner. And I get to see every day those secrets that I've been hiding, and more so the thoughts that I keep in my head that my disease is telling me that it's not true. And I'm so grateful for this process and so grateful for this fifth step. And it's an amazing, amazing process for me. And I'm so grateful how it brings me closer to my higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. Courtney M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Courtney M., recovering in Florida. This is my first time studying the big book in this way. I'm new to OA, but I've been a fellow in a different fellowship for several years. And in that fellowship, we weren't really working the big book the way that I'm seeing it worked here. So I'm really, really grateful that my higher power has guided me here to be on these calls, because this is so, I mean, it's only been a few days, but it's so impactful. And, you know, in this specific paragraph of the big book, we're again referring to looking the world in the eye. I think that, I mean, I'm a big student of psychology. I am always curious about why people do things and how to change stories. And one of the things that I remember recently reading was that shame feeds addiction. And you cannot, if you are in a space of shame, you will continue to be in your addiction. And so, you know, this is how many years ago that the original AAs recognized the fact that if you can shine a light on the things that you are so in shame of, you can be free. And you can hold your head high again, and you can realize that, you know, you're not a terrible person. You might have done some terrible things, but that doesn't mean you're a terrible person. And so I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to look at this and get really honest. It's definitely not easy, but it's necessary. So I'm grateful for that opportunity to do that in a loving space. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Keep coming back. And it looks like it's time to close the meeting now. And I want to thank Laura R., Jerry, Mo H., Robin P., and Leslie M., all on Team Thursday, for helping me with this wonderful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Robin P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.